Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
All right. There hasn't been a whole lot of new news in regards to BTS, but J-Hope is going on his Asian leg of his tour. So we've got our fingers crossed, hoping that we end up getting a new single from him. Mm-hmm. There's been more than rumors. It seems like it's almost pretty much confirmed that he's going to come out with another single. So
right. Just no release date. No idea of what it would be. But
not sure when. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we got our fingers crossed. We're looking forward to that if that happens. And then just today, it was announced that Jin is also coming out with a single called Echo. Mm-hmm. Super exciting, because when we were coming up for the episode this week, we're like, what are we going to cover? And then we're like, oh, we got to cover this by that this show that Jin is on. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that he's coming out with a single. So that's going to be coming out on May 16th. And then I also heard some rumors about possibly an album along with that.
Yeah, I feel like it, like when I was first seeing about it before it was released, it was like Jin is either going to release a single or an album. So I think mm-hmm. it might just be this single. I don't know if mm-hmm. he's going to have an album after that, but it seemed like maybe like a J-Hope single in April, a Jin single in May, and then BTS back in June.
Yes.
So, you know, like they're setting us up for it. But yeah, May 16th, 2 days after my 30th birthday, like happy birthday to me.
Yeah, you happy know? Birthday to Thanks, you. Absolutely. Jin. For sure.
Yeah. Really, really looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. We also just wanted to talk about one more thing that isn't really BTS related, but kind of is in a way.
Adjacent.
Kayla and I are both in Hypen fans, and they just performed at Coachella this past weekend, and they have been all the talk on Twitter. Like, they really made an impression at Coachella, which we're not surprised because we've seen them in concert and they just have such great energy. They're a young group of guys, so you know, they have that like intensity of having to prove themselves.
Totally.
And they really came out with strong vocals. I think they knew that they needed to have good live vocals at this live show.
Oh, and showing that they weren't lip syncing. It wasn't just a backtrack. Like, they had the, you know, the handheld mics the whole time.
You know, that was Jake's idea.
Really? Love
it. He wanted to perform Moonstruck with like mic stands and so just good. Like go up. It wasn't a part of the set list, but Jake, I saw a tweet saying Jake had a vision, and his vocals particularly stood out during Moonstruck at Coachella. Did. But the crowd was insane. Like, they ended up getting so many more new fans. I'm like, damn it, Kayla. Now the prices for tickets to see BTS and then also in Hypen, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, we have to be millionaires at this point. But it's
so good. It feels so good for, like, in Hypen to be walking away from Coachella mm-hmm. and it seems like they're like the most acclaimed K-pop act that went there as far as reviews from their set and all of the other acts. Like, you know, a lot of other artists that were there from K-pop did really well too. But like, you know, people who had no idea who in Hypen were mm-hmm. became fans that night became obsessed and were like, oh my gosh, how have I not known these boys before? You know,
really cool. Really cool. They are the most viewed K-pop act at Coachella to date. Which is pretty, that's a huge record to break.
That's a
huge
honor.
It's like over 400,000 people were watching.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
kudos to them. I'm just proud of them.
Their set was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Massive kudos to them. It was really, really cool to see them there, to see the outfits, the kind of Coachella mixes of their songs. Uh-huh. The live vocals were just incredible. Like
the dancing too. Like their energy was just through the roof, and like the crowd looked crazy hype.
Yeah.
Crazy hype. And I think that's the impression they made, was like, whoa, look at these dudes who can sing and really drive a crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
The great vocals along with the incredible choreo. Mm-hmm. Like, I think what a combo.
Yeah. Anyways, had to give them a
little
shout out.
We had to talk about it. Like, come on.
They really did a fantastic job. They did. Yeah.
They did. But we do get to talk about Jin some today. So we're excited to dive into Kian's Bizarre B&B as we get into today's episode.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're going to be talking about Kian's Bizarre B&B, which is a Netflix TV show that Jin is a guest on, and he's in all of the episodes. We only have 3 episodes so far, but we're going to kind of just talk a little bit about the premise of the show, some of the funny moments, especially a lot of the Jin moments that happen in this TV show. Mm-hmm. We just felt like it was a really fun piece of content that came out for Jin, and we just felt like we had to cover it.
Yeah, and we've missed him.
We have missed him. You know, we've had so much J-Hope content, understandably. So we felt like, you know what, we need to bring it back to Jin, who is also out of the military and still being very active.
That's right. So We are so excited to tell you guys all about Kian's Bizarre B&B. But before we get into today's episode, we really want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here, for listening, and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us further, then you could join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts, where you'd get access to all of our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic hangouts, and our sound checks. So consider joining us there.
Yeah. Thank you all for being here, for your support, and of course for listening. So Kian's Bizarre B&B, the premise of the show is that it follows celebrities Kian 84, Ji Yeon, and Jin of BTS as they open and operate a bed and breakfast, hosting guests and balancing the challenges of running a B&B with no experience. So none of them have experience doing this. In the first season, there's going to be a total of 9 episodes. And like we said, 3 episodes have already been released so far. The first 3 debuted on April 8th, and then the next 3 coming out a couple days after we record this episode, which is going to be April 15th. And then the last will be on April 22nd.
Right. And I mean, we don't know if there's going to be a season 2 of this or whatever, or it could just be like a one-off, you know, one season thing. But it's a very interesting setup here, like with these 3 people, and we're going to get into who these 3 people are, but just like running a bed and breakfast, like with 0 experience. And it's really all from the mind of Kian. So let's talk about who Kian is. His like more common like stage name is Kian 84, and he's a South Korean cartoonist. He's best known in that realm for a webtoon that he released in 2011 called Fashion King, and the next year in 2012 it was adapted into a film. So it was a really popular comic series and then onto a film. Since then he's been in a couple different films and TV shows, but he's most notably known for being in another variety show that's really like, it reminds me of like an American style reality show where they follow, it's called I Live Alone, and they follow the real unscripted and unfiltered lives of single South Korean celebrities. So it shows like how they live inside and outside of the home and like kind of what they do. Kian seems like kind of like a quirky guy. Seems like the type that is just funny and can be a little bit off the wall or unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And he's the boss of this show. He is the, you know, he's the boss of the B&B. He hires, you know, Jin and Yeon to be his, you know, his co-host, but he is the main decision maker. So he really had full reign from Netflix to choose the design style of the bed and breakfast and like how it's ran. And, you know, it seems like as we get further into the series, we might see like more special surprises that he has planned for them. But all of this that we're going to describe to you guys is his like fucked up brainchild, right. Honestly.
Yeah. And you can see his cartoonist mindset coming into play when he creates the bed and breakfast.
Totally.
Like, yeah. Strange guy. He's just a bizarre guy for sure.
Yeah. But entertaining.
Very we entertaining. Like him. I mean, it's the whole premise of the show. Yeah. It's what makes the whole show entertaining is just his character. So then we have Ji Yeon, and she's an actress who's been active since 2017. She's been in the last four seasons of SNL Korea, reprising some roles season to season and gaining recognition for her humor and her acting skills. She's also a new member of the show, the variety show Running Man, which is a real popular show in Korea. That's been going for quite some time.
Yeah, she's actually like a super new member, right? Like you said, mm-hmm. But a lot of the people who have been on there have been on it since it started in like 2010,
which is crazy.
So she's like, I mean, it's kind of crazy that she's on it, you know,
like a huge honor for her to be on it. But also, I mean, SNL, hello,
right?
Like, yeah, big name, big name. So on Running Man, if you don't know, it's where cast members compete in a series of missions to win a race by the end of it. These episodes are filmed on site of landmarks and other popular locations, and each cast member has a camera team that follows them as they complete these missions. So Kian thought that Yeon would be a great fit because they've worked together previously when he made a guest appearance on SNL. So they must have really gotten along, or she made a strong impression.
Right,
on
had
him.
Good synergy, or he just felt like she was funny and would be great to work with. Yeah.
Because when he sat down, he's like, yeah, I think she would be good to have on this show. Like, he really wanted her.
Yeah. So then, of course, we have Jin of BTS. Of course, we already know Jin so well, but we just feel like it's so exciting to see him working on something like this. It seems right up his alley with, like, he already hosted his own variety show on YouTube. He has a great sense of humor. And before watching, we already knew, like, he'll bring a lot into this setting. Kian had, you know, listed off a bunch, like five or six different idols, hoping that they could maybe get an A-list celebrity to kind of bring more notoriety to his show. And that, you know, he was hoping that they could get one of them, but it seemed like from the show, like he wasn't quite sure who they had secured. But he was really happy that Jin came up because he just knew that Jin, he was like the first person he listed off and that Jin would really suit the style and fit well. We learned that Jin has watched some of Kian's YouTube videos while he was in the military and he liked them, so like he already was familiar with him, so when he got the call he was excited to work with him. He had kind of seen what he's like on screen and he wanted to see what he would be like more in person, you know. He was just curious about it. And I thought it was really cute when all three of them met for the first time. Jin was like, you know, humbled. He's always a humble king, BTS. He was humbled. He was like, how do you guys know who I am, you know, kind of playing it off. But he told the camera in a confessional that he plans on acting jokingly aggressive towards his fellow host to like break the tension and to make it more easygoing. And so I really like that approach from Jin. You know, like we're seeing his true self come out, just like he might just in a second go off on a BTS member during a run episode and then they're all giggling about it. You know, he's bringing that same persona and energy into this show too.
He's being 100% himself. I really appreciated this too, how he so easily cut the tension and awkwardness just around both Kian and Yeon, just because they're so starstruck meeting him, like just like cannot be Jin of BTS standing in front of me right now.
They had no idea like what to say to him at first, what to talk about.
Yeah, and you can tell he's had a lot of practice with this and knows how to navigate his fame and can make it more comfortable for everyone to act just more normally around him. It's honestly impressive that he so easily, I mean, within a minute or so, gets them from going being completely starstruck to acting like they're good friends.
Right.
You know, very comfortable with each other. I also love how he found out how ridiculous this bed and breakfast was. And once he figured it out, like how insane all of it would be, he gave some really great advice. Like, I don't think he was intending for it to be like real deep, but I thought it was pretty profound. But he said something along the lines of like, the earlier you accept circumstances, the quicker you can move on and be happy again.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just a perfect example of what Jin stands for, the type of person he is. He's like, this B&B is insane. It's going to be awful. Like, I can't believe he did this. But you know what? It is what it is. gotta roll with it.
Right.
Gonna roll with it. Yeah. Right.
I love that you picked that quote out because that stood out to me too. And I mm-hmm. think that it is such a symbol of who he is and like the wisdom that he provides or like what we've seen him bring into BTS as a group before and mm-hmm. just that it's just like it's such a simple set of wisdom, but you really can't argue with it. No. You know, like, yeah, as soon as I accept my circumstances, then I can be happy again. Yeah. You know, it's mm-hmm. so true. And I think that it was a great way for him to approach this chaos that yeah. is about to come up.
Yeah.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%, vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
We're going to kind of talk about the first three episodes. Episode one has a lot more information because there's a lot of like build and setup of like what this BNB is. And then we'll just briefly cover like the contents of what they're going through. But we just wanted to give you guys like a good preview of the show in case you haven't watched it yet and you're interested in watching. Like yeah. when the next episodes release, if you want to dive in, like I feel like we are really recommending. Like it's a great show.
Highly recommend watching. Yeah. And yeah. like you're saying, Kayla, we're really just giving a premise of it.
Yeah.
Just an overview of kind of what this show is about, funny parts, things that Jin does that you I think all of ARMY should really go and watch it because Jin is fantastic in it and the premise of the show is something like I've never seen before.
Yeah, same. Yeah. But this isn't like a play-by-play, so if you want specifics on like everything, like you should go watch the show.
Go watch it.
Like yeah. you're not, you know, you're not getting the whole thing from this, but we just really want to tell you about this. So in the first episode, it centers on the three hosts meeting and they're traveling and beginning to open the BNB. However, soon, quickly, they're faced with having to go with plan B, learning that a typhoon is on its way to the island. So the BNB is off the coast of an island. Thankfully, Kian had planned an annex for the BNB in the mountains in case of weather if guests get seasick. So we're going to talk about both the BNB and then the annex itself. So the BNB itself was built on a floating barge or like cargo boat ship off of the coast of this island. And it's bright yellow. It has two huge slides coming out of the building. One slide goes directly into the ocean. The other slide goes down to the deck. This is the only way to exit the BNB is to yeah. go down the slides.
You go by slide.
The BNB itself is two stories tall, but the entrance is on the second floor. And to get in, you have to climb a rock wall. Like no door, no ladder, no, you know, no stairs, nothing. Mm-hmm. You have to climb up a rock wall to get inside. There's 11 guest rooms. There's not 11 guest rooms. No. That would, yeah. to have an actual guest room, that would be too normal for mm-hmm. Kian. There are 11 guest beds and these guest beds are hanging beds that are fastened to the exterior walls on the outside of the BNB. Kind of like if you were going rock climbing and like you had to camp on like yeah. the side of a rock wall overnight, like you would put a bed that, you know, harnesses into mm-hmm. it. That's what these are like. There's like a thin ass mattress pad. It looks like a gymnastics pad and seatbelts mm-hmm. on them, two seatbelts to strap yourself in. Mm-hmm. And Kian was like, well, you know, if you fall off, there's a big mat down on the ground. Like you won't die. Like they put a big like tumble mat at the bottom. Yeah. So I mean,
you wouldn't get hurt or whatever. But right. like, yes, you are very much at risk of rolling out of bed and falling
yeah.
to the ground.
Just from tighten those seatbelt straps that you got on them.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's outside.
And it's outside. So you're like exposed to elements. And Kian is like, well, I just thought it would be really like idyllic and romantic if we all got to like moon gaze and stargaze at night. You know, yeah. like, okay. So, by the way, once you climb up the rock wall to get inside the BNB, to get down to the first floor, which is where the kitchen and all the food is, you have to slide down a fire pole. And that's also the only way back up. So then to get back up, you have to climb up the fire pole. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
No, I can't climb a fire pole.
Fuck no.
I can't climb the rock wall.
I don't think I could climb the rock wall.
I would be helpless. I would just have to be outside continuously.
Yeah, just in like the ocean, sleep outside.
Hanging
yeah.
out.
Right. Yeah. find a corner to the barge itself also has a pool, which is just like floating devices that like floating walkways that go off of the side of the barge to make a pool area in the ocean. It has a pool and then a gym. It has an outdoor gym for guests, which when we see the gym in the show, we're like, what is his plan here? Because this is like a pretty massive gym.
Yeah,
like there's a lot going. There's climbing ropes,
the
there's
equipment
free
looks
weights.
Nice
looks like nice equipment for sure. He's got a tea room, which is a super bizarre, like these white bubbles that you have to like climb into and you stick your head out to
these
drink the tea.
Pods,
it looks like something out of like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Soaking tubs that he thought people could enjoy, you know, relaxing in. And then his plan is that like them as the hosts will serve breakfast, right? It's a bed and breakfast. So that's what they're supposed to do is serve breakfast.
Yeah.
So...
it's bizarre.
It's crazy.
Yeah, like, you can tell that he's a cartoonist because he drew all of this. He created this in his mind. And then they made it into reality. And it's just absurd. I think Jen ends up calling it, like, it looks like an amusement park
from hell. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. Because there's also, like, these military kind of components to it, too.
Yeah, like the beds. Like, Kian is like, you know, these beds are, like, military style, like, stacked on top of each other and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
You can see the impact that even his service that he probably did, like, over, you know, 10 years ago, like, had on him.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
You know,
long-ass time ago. He was born in 84, so...
Right. Also, it's just, it's on a barge. It's like drifting out in the ocean. Like it's in the colors of this building are just bright, so bright, very Squid Game-esque.
Right.
Just
as far as the saturation, everything going on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. So anyways, they end up concluding that they can't stay on the water at this B&B the first night because of the wind and rains from this approaching typhoon, which what are the odds? What are the chances that there's a typhoon going on here? So Kian shows them the annex, and the rest of the episode in this first episode is from the point of this, like, it's just like super chaotic from this point because now they're going to the annex, which is literally a shack in the woods.
Right.
It's like rusted metal siding and the doors are creaky that barely even slide open. Like you see Kian like really wrestling with the door, trying to slide it open. Kian had it gutted and restyled into basically a military dorm is what it resembles. And there are no walls, just like a cooking area in a pit and a few windows. So like there's not even a chimney for whenever they cook.
Right.
It's just like the smoke fills the room and there's windows to let the smoke out. And that's it. There's no chimney. It just doesn't make any sense.
Insane.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So the only way to fully get to the annex, which is again right in the middle of the mountains, is to take this tiny cart style monorail through the hills. I personally love this monorail because it's just a super uncommon means of transportation and you are fully exposed to the forest as you ride towards the annex, which at first is like a little bizarre. Like it's kind of scary. You think that like you could easily fall off this thing. Like
right.
You are so exposed, but also it immerses you fully into the forest, which is kind of neat to see. But yeah, it does look scary. And you hear Jen when he gets on it, he's doing his classic, like, whoa, 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 you know, and like his screaming. And it's just kind of nostalgic to see that. Mm-hmm. And it never fails to be peak comedy hearing Jen freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But that quickly turns into like oohs and ahs. Like it really is really
pretty.
Because
it's kind of a cool experience too.
Yeah.
What I think is so funny is this cart that they're riding on the monorail. They've, you know, it used to not, but once Kian got there, he got three tiny seats like installed.
Attached,
and so they're sitting like back to knee, you know, one in front of the other, like crammed in here to get three people in the cart.
Yeah.
And like at one point, like when guests arrive, like they're like, all right, we're going to ride down. Like we'll send it back up. You guys, you know, come back. They just leave.
You can only go three people at a time.
Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
when you head out, you have to go backwards.
Yeah. You're riding on it backwards, back up the mountain
because
it can't turn around. It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So yeah, there's like a makeshift water slide that's outside, and at the bottom is a small pool of water where Kian suggests that they wash their hair, brush their teeth, and do laundry in, which is absolutely insane. Like, oh, here's a pool that you can play in. Oh yeah, and this is also the water that you need to brush your teeth and wash your hair. Like, crazy. Disgusting. Like,
what? So gross.
Yeah. And then lastly, there's an outdoor gym, which consists of a punching bag, rusted dumbbells, and pull-up bars. Like, it's very crappy, the whole thing. It's just not nice equipment. It's all really run down.
Right. And I just have to say, like, at this part, like, Jin and Yeon, they have not actually seen, like, they haven't been on the actual B&B cargo ship because they had already concluded, like, the typhoon is coming. We can't be out on the water.
Yeah, so they haven't seen it yet.
So this is their first exposure to, like, what Kian has in store for them as far as what their accommodations are. Mm-hmm. And Kian was like, by the way, the barge, that's a 5-star, you know, hotel, basically. I think this annex is, like, a 3-star is like his standards, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I just think that that's so insane. They're like, they're really figuring out as hosts, like, what did we get ourselves into? Mm-hmm. Like, being on this show, putting ourselves in this situation. This thing is wild.
Yeah.
Especially like seeing like this, like the rusty dumbbell gym, like shitty accommodation. So bad.
Very shitty.
So
no running water, basically. No. Yeah.
I love two cans like pointing out the water slide. He was like, this was actually really expensive to build. And it looks like a tarp over cinder blocks, you know, with like foam padding put on the edges. Like it's bad. Anyways, guests are like about to arrive at this point in the episode, and the three of them rush to go get groceries. So back up the monorail backwards. What's so great about this too, when they're going up backwards, is Jin's Running Wild starts to play. I love it. I love that Jin's in this show so they can like play his music. They play it all throughout the show for different reasons. It's so good. The guests arrive just as they made it back to the monorail, and like I said, they just left them standing there. Literally another cart full of groceries, and they were like, all right, see ya.
Yeah.
The guests are standing there, and it like starts to rain. They've been standing there for like a half hour, and while they're waiting for the cart to come back up the hill, like downstairs at the annex, they're ferociously like cleaning and setting up for the guests. Like Kian and Jin are mopping the floor with rags on their hands and knees, and like, you know, who knows what Yeon's doing.
Jin is also like showing Kian how to mop.
He's like you gotta bring the military the rag. Like you need to wring out your rag more. Like what are you doing? Also, somehow during this chaotic like, oh my God, the guests are here and we're not ready at all, Jin found the time to read the guidebook for the annex and the monorail before the guests arrived. And then Kian, you know, he's hosting, he's the boss, he's trying to explain it to the guests when they get there. And Jin just like, he's so over the impatient, like the lack of preparation. He's so impatient for it. And he just like goes off. He's like, how do you not even know this info? Like you're the boss, blah, blah, just goes off, grabs the guidebook, sits down, greets the guests. He's super personable, super funny and hospitable, and like just sits down and explains the whole thing to the guests. Like, I love this. This is so classic Kim Seok Jin.
It is. I really love this part too, because you could tell that he was doing everything he could to like hold himself back and not fully take over, but he does. He just, him being so personable too, like you were saying, like when he's talking to the guests, he's not only explaining the guidebook, but he's going back and forth of like, oh, do you like doing this? Or you like doing that? Oh, there's this that we can do. There's, you know, he's just so personable. And it's quite clear that he has so much experience and he's very well seasoned in being able to entertain in a TV setting like this because of like Run BTS and Run Jin and all the variety shows. And he's just so experienced in it at this point that he like cannot control himself. He's like, sir, move over. Like, I know this is your show, but you are doing a terrible job.
Right. Like can we please greet our guests better? You know? Yeah. He takes his role seriously.
By the way, the college students, the first two guests that arrive, they see and meet Jin, and you can tell that they're like kind of shocked that it's Jin of BTS, but you can tell that they're also, they're not acknowledging it. They're not like, oh my God, Jin of BTS. Like they don't acknowledge him other than like, just like they would any other person. But you can see this like slight amount of like internal panic going on with them. And once Jin goes down on the monorail with the two other hosts, they look at each other and they're like, is that, I think that's a BTS member. I think that's Jin of BTS. And they have to search engine, like Jin of BTS, to just like make sure that it's him. And I mean, it's not even half a second of looking at the picture. They're like, oh my gosh, is Jin of BTS. Right. It's just hilarious to me because I'm like, of course it's Jin of BTS. But to have to like get out a search engine to like double check, that's how like surreal that moment was for them. Right. That they just met, like they're about to be on the show with Jin.
Just imagine like the disbelief, like why would Jin be here? Exactly. You know, like of why all people. Would a BTS of all people? Exactly. Right. So I can imagine that they had to really like pinch themselves and mm-hmm. they weren't trying to embarrass themselves by like freaking out, like yeah. they needed to act normal. But yeah. seriously,
the one student, like when he's pulling stuff out of the trunk of the car and he's about to go give it to Jin, he like physically takes a step back, like yeah. whoa. But episode one ends with knowing that two more mysterious female guests are going to be arriving soon, and that kind of gets us into episode two.
Yeah. So getting into episode two really centers on guest arrival and continuing to set up the series. They get to know each other a bit more. The hosts kind of figure out their roles as staff and like what they're going to do. And everybody just gets settled into the B&B itself. It kind of seems like from this first couple episodes that Jin is more of like a chef role. Mm-hmm. Yeon is like client relations. Like she's making sure everybody feels comfortable and supported. And Kian is just the boss. Like he's answering the phone when people are like, hey, I'm about to check in, and he's like, okay, I'll send you the address.
They don't even know where they're going,
right?
Yeah.
But you know, he's just kind of running the show. He's making the rules, and it's like Jin and Yoon's job to like follow and also enforce them. Mm-hmm. So it's picking up here from episode one, and the two other female guests arrive and start to get acclimated to everybody. They're all kind of like chit-chatting while dinner is being made. So Jin and Kian make dinner. They make kimchi, grilled meat, and rice. And Jin even like he called a celebrity chef for help while crouching over like the cauldron that he was gonna make the rice and the kimchi and the meat in, because he was trying to clean it and it just was coming up black all over his hands, and he just wanted to make sure that it would be okay to cook out of and like how to oil it properly. Which was just funny. They all hear him, you know, inside the house, and they're sitting outside, and they're like, who is he on the phone with? Yeah. You know, celebrity chef on speed dial.
Celebrity chef, speed dial, absolutely. Like, close enough that, like, yeah, that he's going to answer the phone. Like, he knows Jin well enough.
Right, he's going to pick up. Mm-hmm. I also love, like you said, inside this annex, there's no chimney. So as they cook, smoke fills the open room. Like, I mean, guests are like struggling to like see and breathe inside there. And so Jin, of course, being the problem solver and so smart and so amazing, he makes a makeshift ventilation system, opens windows, directs fans in the right way to clear the air out. And then they all have a really nice dinner, and the guests talk about their jobs and their lives during dinner. Mm-hmm. But remember, this is supposed to be a bed and breakfast, but Kian is like, well, we're serving you guys dinner tonight, so this is your one meal.
Yeah, and he's like, fill up, because there's no breakfast.
Because there's no breakfast. Yeah. We only got food for dinner. Yeah. So, sorry, no breakfast.
Yeah.
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 Pretty great.
In this episode two, Jin gifted his co-host his Good Day and Bad Day pajamas from his 2022 Artist Made collection before bed. And so these two were his last sets that he had left to give away, which is just so special because like mm-hmm. all of BTS, or not all of BTS, but all of ARMY was obsessed with these pajamas. Like, I wish I had these Good Day, Bad Day pajamas. You know, right. They were the perfect Artist Made collection that Jin made, and the fact that they're from 2022 and it's like 2025, 3 years later, he's like gifting his last ones away for this show. I think it was really special.
It's like a collectible item at this point.
And yeah, it is.
I think it was a really awesome gesture that he extended to his co-host.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So the next morning, one more guest arrived, a friend of the college students, and Jin did the dishes while everyone ate ramen for breakfast, so they didn't get some breakfast, but like ramen. The weather improved, so Kian made the decision to move everyone down to the actual bed and breakfast on the barge. Yeon has a boat license. This is just like so out there and chaotic so and random. Weird. It's so random. She has a boat license. So it is her job to give everyone a ride to the barge on this boat. And she's never driven a boat on the ocean before. So she's kind of figuring it out. But she's also like, I got this. Right. You know?
But she almost, they have like the wave breakers kind of like levees out there. And she almost like drove the boat right into one. Like there was a kind of like an instructor or a guide behind her that for one part had to step in and like steer her away. Yeah. But then she was like, I have this. Like batting him away, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's so random. Like, do you think they made her get a boat license for this show?
I think it's very possible because she doesn't seem super experienced. She doesn't look like,
someone who would just go out and have one.
Right. Like, why would she have one?
Like, who would do that randomly? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's a host of SNL. Like, she's got someone driving the boat for her.
Right. Yeah.
I bet they were like, one of the qualifications we need for you is to get a boating license.
Right.
And she's like, thinks it's funny and is like, sure.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. So, that's her job, right? To get everybody there. So Jin, Yoon, and Kian all react to the sleeping situation and like the different rooms of the house before the guests enter. So they all go out there first and ride the boat out there. She drives them all out there and all the guests go on like excursions, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like a diving and a fishing excursion. So they at least plan something nice, or maybe the guests, I think like the show planned something, not necessarily like Kian. Mm-hmm. Kian is very much of the mindset of like, I have your accommodations. I will feed you breakfast. And like, that's it. You can figure the rest out yourself,
pretty simple.
You know, which I guess, you know, that's a B&B. So, mm-hmm. As they enter, like Jin cannot believe how the beds are set up. Mm-hmm. Kian is just dying of laughter as Jin is just complaining and just like dumbfounded. Like he's like, we have to climb like between the beds to get down to one, you know, from like the second floor. We're outside. We have to strap in on seatbelts. Like mm-hmm. he just can't believe that this is the situation.
Just picture Jin going off at Jungkook for doing something ridiculous.
That's
exactly how he's acting in the show. Yeah.
Except for Kian is his elder, so all he's doing is just laughing so hard and giving him zero explanation.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, to get down, like we said, to get down to the kitchen on the fire pole, they have to slide down the fire pole. And Yian, poor girl, she was so scared to slide down that fire pole. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Like, in America, we have fire poles on, like, every single playground. Mm-hmm. Like, you slide down a fire pole like when you're 6 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. But you never climb up one. And she knows, I think part of the fear is she knows when she gets down there the only way to get back out is to climb up that fire pole. And like how impossible of a task that seems. She's so scared that for her to even get down, Jin offered, I feel like this is so chivalrous, he offered to get down on the floor, have Kian stand on his shoulders, and then they stood up so that Yeon could climb onto Kian's shoulders and climb down them like a ladder.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't go down the pole. I mean, first of all, showing Jin's incredible strength post military. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's looking real beefed up right now. Like, honestly, he's very strong man, very much like, oh wow, you just got out of the service. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was super sweet of Jin to offer that. And then like once they got down there, Kian made a really funny comment that the show just turned into physical 100.
Like, I mean, it kind of does. It's really funny. Speaking on that, just because this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but mm-hmm. like just in relation to physical 100, some of the other guests that come later are like rock climbers.
Right.
And they have like their own little segment of the show where they're like zooming in on their abs. Like the producers had to have told those guys to like take off their shirts.
Oh, right. And, like we're getting shots of you.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's so funny. Like the setup is so good. But yeah, physical 100. And then like it was, of course, after they get down there to the kitchen, they have to get out. So mm-hmm. they're trying to figure out a way to lift Yeon back up. And I just thought Jin was super sweet and supportive mm-hmm. when they were hyping her up to be able to do it. Like he was just like, you can do this. You've got this. Like you're totally capable. Like we'll lift you up. We're right here for you, you know, but like there's nothing holding you back. You can do this. And I just thought like, man, he's so incredible.
He is
such a wonderful, supportive person.
Yeah, it shows how Jin, I can picture it now, how he so easily was liked by all the other men in the military, mm-hmm. and how easy it was for him to go into a leadership role. You oh, see yeah. him thrown into this setting where he's not even the main host. He's not even the center B&B boss. And right. he's even calling Kian boss. And yeah. he's still like really taking lead on a lot of stuff just out of kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just very, very friendly, easy to get along with, willing to just help out in totally. Any way that he can.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's respectful. He has his own strong sense of confidence, mm-hmm. but he shares that confidence with others and he helps, you know, boost them up yeah. at the same time. You know,
seeing him just like lift Yan up with his hands.
Yeah.
She's stepping on his hand and he's just like elevator, one-handed lifting her arm up overhead, lifting her up and hot. Up this pole. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he just climbs up the pole like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to take his socks off, but.
Right. I mean, slippery.
You need a grip.
Yeah. So that's kind of how episode 2 ends, on a cliffhanger of like, can they get out of this first floor kitchen?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So just an overview and some of our thoughts on the third episode. So in episode 3, the adventure continues as the hosts welcome new guests to their unconventional oceanic guest house. The episode highlights the unique challenges posed by the B&B's design. So after finally escaping the kitchen, Jen and Ian break Kian's rules by bringing the guest luggage up through the slides instead of climbing up the rock wall, because pretty early on, Ian ends up getting into the B&B by just climbing up the slide. And I was telling you, Kayla, like, if I was there, I would absolutely be climbing up the slide. I don't care about yeah. the rules. I don't care if Jen yells at me. By all means, come on, Jen, scold me. I'll take it. You
and
know?
Honestly, it was Jen's idea to bring the luggage up the slides.
Yeah.
Because Kian was like, I don't know, strap it to your back, climb up that wall. You right. know, like, he was like, just like, it's your job to figure not. Out right
yeah.
they're
yeah.
like, fuck no, they're pushing up suitcases up this slide like two suitcases at a time, mm-hmm. and yeah
yeah. So more guests arrive, including a female carpenter. She brought 3 pieces of lumber and some tools along with her, so we kind of wondered how this would come up later, and it kind of does come up a little bit later. So as they arrive at the bizarre B&B, guests think that it looks beautiful lit up at night, which it really does. Like, there's like bright neon lights.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if we mentioned like the decorative kind of like St. Petersburg-esque like dome.
The spires. Yeah, there's
yes.
spires on top.
On
and
top,
lots
yeah.
of like archways. Like, this is when it's all lit up at night that Jin describes it as like a amusement park
from
hell.
Yeah. 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 But they are all just like Jen. They were all just like really shocked at them being on the water and initially taken aback by like all of the challenges of how do you get in, how you get out, as well as the beds, of
yeah.
course. Like, the beds just outside hanging on the wall.
It's like when they were getting close to it, they were kind of like, oh, this looks cool. And then mm-hmm. the closer they get, the like the more scared they
yeah,
get.
They're
like, actually, what
second.
Is going on?
Yeah.
yeah.
What do I have to do?
So like Kian tells them all like, welcome. And like how you get in is climbing up this rock wall. And Jen is the one who shows the guests how to climb the rock wall, and he does a great job. Like, Kian, you know, says something about how it looks like Jen has done this like for 10 years. Jen also, once he gets to the top, explains the rule that you have to use the rock wall to enter the B&B. And quickly after that, 3 other guests, the ones Bethany was talking about, they shimmy up the rock wall like it's absolutely nothing, and everybody's like, whoa, like, who are these
they
guys?
They say nothing. They just like,
they chalk up and they're up it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
One of them, even like the rock wall kind of goes from like easy, medium, hard from left to right. And one of them went right up the hard side. Like, uh-huh. I mean, he was up super quick. They quickly concluded that they're professional rock climbers. And the 3 guys confess, like, yes, we're rock climbers and also instructors.
Yeah.
So very convenient. I definitely think, obviously, like, the producers were like, we need rock climbers
we need
help.
People who know how to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just, I really appreciate that the rock climbers help everybody navigate the rock wall and get inside. And then they all kind of sit inside in the, you know, the second floor around the hole of the fire pole. And Kian kind of explains the rules to them. And then he's like, by the way, if you want to eat, it's down there, down this fire pole. So mm-hmm. we all have to go down there now. We just cannot overemphasize how funny and ridiculous the use of the fire pole is. Mm-hmm. Like, some people think it's fun. Some people, like, go down it so naturally. Other people are scared of going down. They've never gone down one before. Mm-hmm. They're worried of their ability to, like, hang on and not slip off and just fall to the bottom. And then everybody, almost everybody besides, like, the rock climbers are concerned about getting back up.
Yeah.
One of the girl who's a carpenter gets down there, down the fire pole, and then she asks Kian, like, by the way, where's the bathroom? And he's like, oh, it's up the pole, you know, down the slide, around the corner outside, down at the end, past the gym. Like, I mean, what that would forever be my away. Nightmare. Imagine you have to go right then and you have to climb up a fire pole. Fuck no.
Yeah.
So anyways, Kian, he actually starts to feel a little bit bad. I think, you know, he's a little bit worn out from the rock wall and the fire pole, but he also sees Guess being uncomfortable and struggling.
I'm sorry. He looks dead tired.
The day is weighing on him.
He's standing there and, you know, you could see that he's trying to host and everything. And his whole demeanor is changed. Like, he just looks worn out.
Yeah. Oh, at one point he's like laying on the ground outside. Like, why did I do this to myself?
Yeah.
But I think he also, like, he feels some compassion towards the guests that are maybe fearful of it or just like seeing the actual work, the physical exhaustion that it takes to make people like navigate this B&B. I think he's like, wow, in idea, this sounded really funny and hilarious and amazing. Mm-hmm. But in practice, maybe it's not as good as I thought it could be.
Yeah.
So he actually decides to just host dinner outside on the open air of the B&B on the barge. Like, they have like really nice turf and a setup and everything, instead of making everyone go back down in there. So he also, at the same time, is having a conversation with both Yeon and Jin about maybe asking the carpenter guest to build a ladder up to the like the first floor front instead of taking the fire pole, and also building a door into the first floor from the outside. Because he's just, like Bethany said, he's really mentally suffering. He's done.
He
couldn't last one day in his own amusement park from hell that he created.
He feels it. And yeah, like, he ends up saying he softened seeing all of his guests. Like, he, I think going into this was like, ooh, I get to be the person who runs this. Oh, how fun. This will be fun for me.
Right.
But once he's thrown into the role and then he sees that he's actually responsible for the experience of all of these people, he takes on the role of being a host and being no, I need to not make this so miserable
for everyone. He feels responsible. He doesn't actually want everyone to have a bad time.
No.
You know?
Yeah, he wants it to be bad that it's humorous, but not bad to the point where it's like people are like, like, physically aching.
Right. From, or like, why did I sign up for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he kind of asks Jin and Yeon's like opinion, and Yeon is all for it. She's like, please don't make me climb up that rock wall again. Like, please build a door. And Jin is like, no compromise. Like, this was what was in your mind from the beginning. Like, this, if you did this, it would take away from how surreal the space is. Like, you need to stay the course.
Yeah.
So there's, by the end of episode three, there's no resolution on if a ladder or a door or anything will be built. They don't make progress on it from there. So we don't know what they're going to end up doing, but
I love how it's kind of like an angel and devil on his shoulder at this point. Where you wouldn't think that Jen is the one who's like, don't compromise.
Right. He's like, stand firm. It's so true. But there is lumber and tools aboard and somebody with know-how. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But you know, it really like adds a lot of charm and camaraderie to the show that like everybody has to go through this and struggle through this together.
Yeah.
And kind
of
like
team
bond.
Building. Yeah. To overcome a lot of these strategies.
Yeah.
As the day progresses, the hosts and guests bond over dinner too. They play a game of Mafia, which really creates a big sense of friendship and fun, and they all gather in this like cozy area of the B&B, and they're excited to play the game. Both the guests and the host participated in it. So Jin acted playful as like the moderator for the game with Yeon's sharp wit. It was just a few fun games. So he ends up picking her to be the first mafia. Mm-hmm. And they find out pretty quickly. But she really tries. Like, she really, really tries. Kian, of course, is unpredictable, keeping an eye on everyone, keeping them on their toes. So this segment of the episode showcases the group's chemistry a lot, and the show's blend of like humor and how spontaneous it can be, which makes it really engaging and entertaining to watch. So later on, there is an they all go outside, by the way. This is the point where they're going to bed. So they're all getting into position.
Strapping in.
Kian is making sure that everyone is putting their buckles on so that they don't roll out of bed because they're literally on the second level.
He even buckled up a guy who was like already dozing off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And woke him up to put on the second buckle. He's like, make sure you put these on before you fall asleep.
Yeah. It's really funny. Oh, I have to mention too, it's really funny that Jin went on one of the beds and he was trying to climb down the ladder, but there's like nothing to hold on to get onto the ladder, and so you see him like squatting down with his hand like behind his back, reaching and like waving his hand like trying to find one of the rods of the ladder. It's hilarious, and it's just so Jen. Like, he doesn't care that he looks like so stupid. but you can see where he's going with it, you know, like we would all be in that position if we were just trying to like figure it out.
So real.
Anyways, I just think it's really cute that Kian is like making sure that everyone is strapped in for the night. But at 4 a.m, it starts to rain and the guests are like awoken very suddenly at 4 a.m, middle of the night. Like, one of the guys is even like, I'm not getting up. Like, he just rolls over and is like gonna bear through the rain. Like, he doesn't want to move. And so you just hear Jin attempting to rouse Kian amidst this downpour.
And Kian is like on the top bunk, like there's 3 levels of bunks. He's on the top one, the most exposed to the elements and completely dead to the world. Mm-hmm. Does not feel the rain at all. He has like his jacket that he was wearing earlier just over his head. And Jin's just like on like his bottom bunk on the other wall, like yelling at him. Like,
yelling up to him.
Can you wake up, please? Yeah.
It would probably take him like 15 minutes to get to him.
Probably. Oh my God. Can you imagine climbing the rock wall in the rain?
In the rain, yeah.
No, Jin would just go up the slide at that point.
Oh yeah, for sure. Start throwing things at him.
Jesus. Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just honestly like by the end of the 3rd episode, you feel like the show is super unpredictable. There's a lot of humor to be found in that, but like it's a great cast of people that are all together. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the guests, you know, they may only be there for like one more episode, or maybe they're there for like 4 days, or you know, they all kind of have different times that they're gonna stay. So throughout the season we might see some people leave and some more people come, and you know, we're just interested to see like what dynamic continues to develop here between the guests and the hosts. Yeah. And I don't know, living in this B&B.
It's interesting to see how the show is already becoming heartfelt. Like, you wouldn't think that Kian, like, he had full intentions of this being a super silly, super, super goofy B&B, and it's already having these like really sweet moments along with it. Yeah. I really have enjoyed it. It's been entertaining to watch. And Jin is honestly my favorite part of it. Like, just seeing him thrown in with people I've never seen him interact with before and like complete strangers. And he just seems like any other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
I love to see him like that. You know?
I do too.
Yeah, it feels, I mean, it's just Jin. It's who we've come to know him as over all of these years. And it feels so good to see him back, but to see him in something new and different that, you know, we have not seen him in before. I think that he brings such great humor and wisdom and honestly, like chivalry and helpfulness and care to the show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great balance between, you know, Kian and Yeon, who they also like obviously care about what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kian really has understood very quickly, like, I can't be as crazy as I wanted to be with this because it's actual people's lives and like well-being that's like being affected here.
I'm sure he has other things up his sleeve though.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, there's gonna be some other tricks that come into play down
we'll see how it evolves, because there's still a lot on that ship that has not been explored or shown, and it's like, why would he need this here? You know, so we will definitely see what else is going on here, but we really hope that you guys, you know, like what you heard here and that you go and listen to the or not go listen and watch to, it. Go watch the show. This is obviously not an ad or sponsored or anything, but we just really wanted to watch the show and super enjoyed it.
I feel like there hasn't been much attention on it, especially since J-Hope's concert has been going on. Right. Obviously, there are some armies who are watching it and talking about it, but we really wanted to cover it here on the podcast. Like we said, we're not sure if we're going to cover the entire season that comes out, but we really enjoyed it. We're going to watch it all the way through, and we just wanted to kind of touch on it. I feel like we have a good solid idea of everything that might end up going on. So definitely check it out, guys.
The next three episodes drop even before this episode come out.
So there's, six episodes.
There's six to watch now. April 15th was when the next three came out. Mm-hmm. And then April 22nd is when the last three drop. So definitely something to like keep you entertained before we get that single from Jin in May. Yeah.
And it's on Netflix. It's not like, accessible. I don't know, some Korean app that you gotta
download and totally change your IP address and whatever. So I think that, I mean, it's a great show to watch. It was super entertaining for us, and we hope that you guys check it out, because show Jin all the love and support. Like, I personally want to see him in more Netflix shows. I want to see him in more variety shows, reality shows, K-dramas.
I want the drama. Like, give me the drama.
I know, but we got to get there. You know, he's got to build up, you know, the credits within the acting space. So support it, watch it, stream it, talk about it online.
Do it.
Kian's Bizarre B&B.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. We'd love to hear if you guys have watched the show yet, or if you're going to watch now and your thoughts on it. So just get with us on Twitter, on our Instagram comments, write a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. It means so much to us when you do that. Mm-hmm. And it also encourages other people to like find us and listen and check us out, give us a shot. So we definitely appreciate if you do that. We do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. And please let us know what you think. And of course, we have links for all the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.